You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, J.D. Church, Ender, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
On last week's show, is there anything left to be said on Iron Man 2, or have we addressed this?
The stoner from PCU made it.
Iron Man?
What? He did?
The director, John Favreau.
Oh, John Favreau.
Yeah, great movie. Yeah, remember the guy who was
Happy Hogan? PC? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, who thought it? Oh, an Elf. He made Elf.
Yeah, Elf's good movie.
See, I know, the only thing I think about Iron Man is I find the marketing deficient.
Yeah.
I mean, I was tripping over Transformers crap, but I can't even find the score. I mean, I'm like totally... Iron Man.
Sorry to interrupt you, Ender. Speaking of the score, the reason why you can't find it, it's not being released until July 7th.
Okay.
Which makes no
the other
sense.
DC hates iTunes and like only works with Walmart. How do you decide Apple is corporate evil and then go release with Walmart?
It's because your core audience shops at Walmart when you
leave. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys that look like Angus walking around.
Yeah, they released their last couple CDs, the Iron Man soundtrack. It was available at Walmart. Everything's available at Walmart. Why? Because the guy who's going to buy it is going to Walmart to buy it.
Yeah.
One day we're going to like go to like look at people of Walmart, and there's going to be Angus Young.
Okay, all right.
Like,
let's just put this on the
weird
fly.
40-year-old in the kilt with no shirt. Oh, wait.
There's three other guys exactly like him in line.
Oh, guess which one? Downey Jr. buying a bunch of chips.
One's wearing those furry Ugg boots.
Yeah, that is so 2005, my friend.
I'm so
hey, everybody, you're listening to New Soundwave rolling. Already on Iron Man 2 residual talk. Hey, I talked to XV a little bit earlier in the evening about Iron Man 2. And just, I guess, since we talked about it for quite a bit in the last show, if you guys have any other, like, lasting final thoughts on the movie, feel free to jump in. I'm joined by Chris Triplett, Mike Blanchard, Ender, Rob, the RFC2 robot. He's recording just in case.
Oh my God!
I eat robots.
Follow up. Oops, go ahead, XV.
No, I just said I eat robot.
Oh, well, then you're not saying anything, you know.
That's right.
So I'll keep talking. you know, I make time. You know, I feel bad. I'm talking over everybody, and then I shut up, and y'all got nothing to say.
You got confused.
You got confused. Hey, is there anything left to say on Iron Man 2, or have we and the world spoken?
Have you guys noticed the order of the end credit sequences?
No, what about it?
Nope.
When we were doing our own Iron Man 2 thing over on Geekcast Radio Podcast, one of our co-hosts pointed out that the end credit sequences between Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man 2, the way the films are supposed to go as far as the end credit sequence is Iron Man 1 and 2, and then the Incredible Hulk, because by the time of the end credit sequence of Incredible Hulk, Tony Stark is already the associate or liaison or whatever the hell Fury said he was going
to
be.
He talks to Thunderbolt Ross in Hulk, so theoretically he must have already been in with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
They could get Sam Jackson in Incredible Hulk.
What's that have to do with the credits?
you know
what's the end credit sequence, the after credit sequence.
So,
you know.
Somebody pointed out to me.
All right, so in the first one, he talks to...
He meets him.
Fury, briefly, at least in some respect. We don't know what that conversation entailed.
Well, no,
and
McDonald's?
Then in this movie, he becomes somewhat involved with them. So theoretically, it is before the Hulk.
Right.
But only the end credits of Iron Man have anything really to do with the order that these things must have taken place.
Yeah, with the big
universe. Clearly, at the very least, Thor Hammer has to be after Iron Man 2 because Agent Coulson leaves during Iron Man 2 to go to New Mexico. So that's got to be sequential.
And, you know, it's not like Tony Stark ever at all worked with the military before Iron Man took place.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, in the Hulk, I got the impression that Ross knew him from non-superhero-related matters.
Oh.
Ross is clearly involved in weapons development.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, he says something like, you've got a problem, too, or something, almost like he's familiar with maybe his heart condition or something.
Or at least Ross knows he's Iron Man.
He knows he's Iron Man, yeah.
He was, or he knows he's got a slap light on his chest.
Damn, Iron Man.
Yeah, in the bar, he's glowing.
You are drunk, Tony.
That's the scene that we're missing in Iron Man 2. We're like, crap, we're in the dark. We're looking for something. Oh, what are we going to do? Hang on a second. That's just creepy, Tony.
You know what's the end credits thing no one's noticed yet that totally every all these movies, and they link all to this one important plot point, and that is everyone's got to piss, and it's a mad rush to the toilet, and everyone missed this part. I made a pee joke. Dude, I just
well,
that
for Iron Man 2,
poke.
I sat there and risked bladder damage just to make sure I didn't miss it. So,
man, I made it through Forrest Gump. I can wait for Thor's hammer.
Yeah, but I had a giant thing of Dr. Pepper during the movie, so it was a close
one. I've learned that if I just get the medium, I finish it and want a little more, but I don't like suffer like internal rupture waiting through the credits.
Yeah, but the extra large is only 25 cents more.
I think it's like 25 cents of internal rupture.
Yeah,
and it's like twice the size. It's a better deal. Come on.
It is a better deal until you get to the hospital.
My kidneys are still working, so I think I'm okay.
It's a gallstone for $2.95.
$4, man. $4.
I buy the extra large, and I'm done before the movie starts.
Well, dang. See, I had that problem. I had that problem
That's why
when
you
I
have
get
to
food.
Steal the salt.
God,
and over the course of a few months, we stole all the salt shakers, every single one, so they had to replace them. And I decided that the only thing funnier than stealing all the salt shakers was to one night put them all back. Confused the hell out of some people. That's great.
See, I thought you were saying, and I pissed in them.
No, urine is not an integral part of my humor.
Oh, okay.
It might make it better, though, Ender.
It's all shit pissing partners over here.
On that. You're in for a treat. Okay, hey, in other comic news.
Hang on, I still didn't get to say my piece on Iron Man. I got interrupted. No, I was just going to say, because when I was on Saturday, I had seen it like 5 minutes before and was accused of having the emotional 10 minutes after reaction. I just wanted to say it's been a few days, and I still give it my unmitigated awesome rating. That's
pretty
all.
Good.
That's all I wanted to say.
Go, I want to see it again. I only saw the midnight showing, so I'm kind of afraid that maybe I'm not in the right frame of mind to judge it. But right now, I'm still thinking it's good, but not as good as the first one.
I agree. Yeah. Sorry, I was loud there. I saw it again. I liked it better on the second viewing, but none of my quibbles were. I don't feel that any of my quibbles were unfounded.
So nothing rot in your brain from the sleepy time?
No, I think it was snappier on the second viewing, and it was tighter, and the action sequences are definitely better than the first movie. But
oh god, yeah,
that's.
Well, I think if anything, even though it's lacking in some of the origin drama, I think the just total acceleration of all the action sequences really brings it up to par. I mean, it's a little apples and oranges comparison, so it's hard to make. But as a complete structure, I think they're both equally good. They're very different movies.
I mean, you were talking about how the first one being an origin story, you know, it's kind of you know, not really fair. I typically origin stories suck and movies have to get past.
But that one didn't. That was a good origin story. If you do an origin story right, it rocks hard.
It was good.
And the emotional involvement in the origin story is greater. But I think the action movie quotient of this one was what made up for that lack of emotional base. That would be my argument there.
Have you guys ever seen the Iron Man 94 cartoon two-part episode, The Armor Wars?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen some of that series recently because I foolishly bought the DVDs. God, they're awful.
If you don't want the DVD set, I'll take it off your hands. But anyway, my point is...
I'll buy it just for the intro.
Your eyes bleed.
My point is... If you take out Whiplash, if you take out the entire Whiplash storyline on Iron Man 2, it's basically a live-action version of the Armor Wars two-parter where Tony has to – where someone has stolen his tech and reproduced it and made this army of drones, and then he has to basically, you know, get it back. I don't have any real issue with Iron Man 2. I really enjoyed it. I think a lot of the quote-unquote comedy/ego things from Stark were a little much.
Oh, really?
I hate Pepper Potts. I cannot stand
Pepper.
Her.
I think Pepper's great.
Yeah, I like Pepper.
I like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, me too. My favorite bit of the movie is still the end.
You just want to drink a Dr. Pepper with Gwyneth Paltrow on your lap. Then you're fine.
Yeah.
I got my woman here. We're going to drink Dr. Pepper.
Wrong accent, but
I was talking about my woman, not Gwyneth Paltrow's nasty ass. That's right, I said it.
And what was your favorite part?
Oh, the end where
didn't you say the same thing about G.I. Joe?
Yeah, where Nick Fury arranges Gary Shandling to
See, when you say the end, I think about, like, what was my favorite part of Revenge of the Fallen? It was that part where there was that black field with all those words rolling up on it. That was fantastic.
Getting up and leaving was so wonderful.
No, you know, my favorite part of Revenge of the Fallen was the very start of the movie before I knew how, you know, kind of bad it was.
But it was actually kind of enjoyable at the beginning.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Because I've only seen it the one time. My favorite part was when the asshole, even though we were at a press preview, from the theater came in and talked over the scenes during the credits to remind us to pick up our cups. What we screamed at him to shut up. 200 people yelling, "The movie's still on, asshole!" And he's still talking about our cups and popcorn.
I'm leaving them here, dickhole, and saving his empty pickle packet.
I wanted to take my popcorn and, like, fling it across the theater. Like, there. I heard your announcement. Thanks a lot.
And this salt shaker with this yellow liquid in it that is not suspicious at all.
Yeah, this salt shake right off his head.
Why are we talking about urine?
Eat that, IMAX guy.
Do you want to talk about urine, Brian?
Yeah, I've diverted the subject from urine. I think I'm doing pretty good.
You have. Jen well.
Hey, we should talk about something that has nothing to do with urine, like the new EGM, Brian. What'd you think?
Absolutely. That's where I was going. Brian, what do you think?
I think it's awesome that EGM is back. I do not like their digital supplement, but, you know, I'm not paying anything extra for it. So there you go.
Very good.
Electronic Gaming Monthly was canceled by Imagine Media because it wasn't making enough money. It's still profitable. They just wanted to get rid of their print assets. So
does EGM have an iPad app? Because they should.
Yeah, it's called joystick.com.
Yes. I think they're looking into it, but I don't think it's happening.
Definitely think they're looking into it. It's a Flash-based digital version that
that's not going to work.
Well, I mean, they can port it over, but I just don't care for it. It runs slow on my netbook. In fact,
that's your problem.
It runs slow on
You should get an iPad.
You know, on my Core i7 460 with 6 gigs of DDR3 RAM, it runs great, but on nothing else. that I've actually tried it on. Does it run worth a crap?
I think it works fine. I got no problem with it, and it's not the reason I subscribed to it. I want the magazine.
Absolutely. I'm glad.
So I'm happy with what they gave me, but if it goes to the point where the magazine gets canceled and I just get EGMI, might not renew.
Yeah, it would definitely not renew if it was just the digital version of the magazine. It's okay.
Yeah, that was kind of the thing with Hardcore Gamer. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, I remember it.
I was quite fond of that when it was in print.
But I'm just really glad Electronic Gaming Monthly is back. It's not it's trying to sort of be new and true to the roots of the old magazine, which is what I want, but it's kind of going back to it's slightly going back to the old school version where they still had the review crew and everything in the front of the magazine, which it seems silly that I would care about that, but I do. But
nostalgia, if anything.
Yeah, but it's a little more in the later vein of EGM that I really wasn't that crazy about. I loved EGM in the first – in like years 4, 5, 6, and 7, but after that it just sort of went in a direction that I didn't care for. Of course, that's when gaming was going in a direction I didn't care for. So I guess it's apropos that my favorite, you know, era of EGM was the 16-bit era.
Yeah, when it was the size of a phone book every issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the worst time for you to be getting EGM, isn't it?
I really don't care about most video games. So if it was like a DS magazine, I mean,
yeah,
that'd be pretty badass.
I still managed to find 16-bit games I'm looking for.
Yeah, but no one writes about them, not in print anymore.
I know. I feel like print things, I'm always looking for the classic section.
Yeah. There's that retro gaming magazine, but it's like $10 an issue. It comes out every other month, so what? F that.
I bought a Super Nintendo game the other day called Paladin's Quest I'd never heard of. Some kind of role-playing game. It's a weird thing, like you use your HP as MP. It's very odd. It's an Enix game, though.
I have a very sad Super Nintendo story.
Ooh.
I went into look. I went into a
sad tuba.
When there were actually still video stores around, I went in to see if I could rent some games back when Super Nintendo was still popular. And the only thing they had was the Power Rangers game, and I played it for about 5 days.
That is sad.
It's kind of
sad.
Yeah, I know.
I have a period in my life that both me and some friends in high school used to refer to as our sad period. That is the period just before high school started and we had no friends and all we did was play role-playing games. That was sad. I think that we need a new word for what you just described.
Well, at least it wasn't mini-cons.
Some of those licensed games were fun.
Morbid. You had a morbid period there.
I really love the Titanic games.
They seemed like morbidly obese. Like, that was morbid. That was bad. That shouldn't have happened.
Which game was that, Brian?
The Tiny Toons game for the SNES that Konami made. I really enjoyed it. A lot of life.
That was pretty good.
Well, I recall that being pretty good.
I don't even remember Sonic. That. What was it like? It's like a Sonic game or something?
Kinda. More like Busby, but good.
Oh, Busby sucks.
Yeah. See, that's why it was actually good.
I'm enjoying this conversation a mere, like, 3 feet away from my Super Nintendo collection.
I'm 7 feet from mine, but my Super Nintendo collection is actually pretty sparse.
I have like maybe 5 games for that.
I'm looking at maybe 30, maybe 40 here.
I'm somewhere in that range. No, I don't have like a huge collection.
That's sparse?
Yeah, I don't have
30 or 40 is sparse?
Yeah, okay, you're just like, talking SNES or you're not talking about everything, are you?
No, I'm talking SNES. Super.
I have like 160 NES games and probably
yeah, you got a ton of NES games. You can bury it, man, with NES games.
I probably have like 120 Genesis games. Jeez. In my SNES collection is really.
Is it just because there's
my 1300 game collection sounds small?
Is it just because there's less SNES games that are worth owning, or is it just because there's just so much NES crap out there that's worth owning?
I would consider myself more a child of the 80s than the 90s, so I loved the NES.
Because I loved them both, but there's just something more classic about an NES game, I think, than an SNES game.
There's something more classic. There's a charm. But I think the Super Nintendo and the PlayStation 1 are probably, incorporating their time, I think are the best systems ever made.
I just bought Triple Play 2001 last week for PS1.
How's that work?
I always feel like you measure a game console's success by, like, you look at the first games made for it and the last games made for it. And it's like the distance between them. If the system had any dynamic nature to it. And I feel like initial Super Nintendo games really changed and became something cooler. And definitely, this. I mean, even more so for the PS1.
Okay, so PS1, Battle Arena Toshinden, and at the end, it was something about Square, probably. There you go.
Yeah, Battle Arena Toshinden.
I mean, they really found better ways to use the hardware. It was a dynamic piece of hardware. Well, because, I mean, like, the Intellivision is like an underused system. That thing had the power of a Super Nintendo, but no one knew what to do with it. I'm just talking about judging the hardware. Like, if they had figured out how to use the power in the Intellivision, it would have looked like a Super Nintendo eventually. But the market dropped out and died, so nobody ever explored it. But, you know, things like – that's why it come down so hard on the PS2. I always feel like PS2 games look the same on day one as they did on the last game for the system.
They probably look worse, at least.
Yeah, they look worse. People start to get lazy.
Maybe not, if you actually – you know, qualitatively. But if you go back and you just compare how the games looked, like, wow. Ridge Racer 5 is a crappy game, but that's the lighting effects in it just looked amazing at the time. And by the time just before you know, before the current gen of systems came out, you know, when you had like nicer games to compare to, it just compared so poorly to like the Xbox. The Xbox was almost next gen in comparison.
Yeah. Well, the Xbox was almost literally next gen when it launched.
Yeah, true.
Comparison. Well, even, you know, the NES too, you know, we didn't get a lot of Japanese titles that released that were really graphically superior. Like Final Fantasy III, I've played on an emulator and just remember thinking like, I didn't think an NES could do that at all with some of the graphical stuff it was doing. I just wouldn't have thought the NES capable of it. Just effects-wise, you know, seeing things through things and, you know, breaking objects up and coloration.
Yeah.
Just like, I'd never seen an NES game that really looked like that. It's just little things. It wasn't a tremendous change, but I don't feel like we saw that in the U.S., that level of design.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's video game talk.
But I mean, like, play Legacy of Kain and then play Soul Reaver.
Yeah,
you know, like little difference there. You know, somebody figure out something in
it's
between.
A lot of difference.
Yeah.
Hey Rob, did you want to talk about Photo Dojo for free on the DSi?
Yes, Photo.
Yeah,
Dojo.
I want to hear about this.
Yes, if you got a DSi and you log into the DSi store, up until I think June 10th is the last day, but Photo Dojo is completely free to download until then. After that, it's a cost you a whopping $2, but, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap already.
No way.
Well, I'll just jump right onto that.
Outrageous.
Yeah, but
dude, $180 is totally worth it. Let's do it.
How's the DSi, Rob?
I like it. I mean, it's a DS. You know, with some extra stuff, I do like the DSiWare. If I'm sitting around too cheap to want to go buy a game, it's like, what's on clearance at Walmart? Oh, boy, Hello Kitty's Adventures, you know? You know, I have a hard, you know, but it's like the DSiWare is pretty the mixed bunch. I downloaded Dark Void Zero the other day, and that's, I swear I remember playing that in fifth grade, even though I know I didn't. And stuff
so
like that.
Cool. So it succeeded in its mission.
Yeah,
it succeeded in its mission.
Yeah, it succeeded in its mission, and you give that thing a few more time, you know, a little bit more time, and you know, with the XL and the 3D coming out, it's the cameras are going to be a little bit more put out. But that's what Photo Dojo basically is. It's a game where you take, you know, it's a fighting game, but like the first player game is a Streets of Rage type thing, where you got to beat 100 enemies, and all the characters are your friends. Like, you just take pictures of people and poses and get voices and everything. It's just fun, you know? It's just a fun, even the two-player versus game. You got to play a 1DS, but it's still, you're laughing. I mean, it's fun, you know?
I have an XL, and I quite like it, but I want something from the DS that I'm never going to get. And that is, this is like, it's a silly thing in a lot of ways, but I do, because I have a family, a lot of the gaming we do is kind of communal.
Right.
I just want to be able to make the image appear on the TV. I don't have to be able to play it that way. I mean, I know it's all touchscreen related.
That would be cool.
But like, I can't sit and play a DS game and involve other people in it.
Sounds like you need
There's
a
like
PSP.
No way to do it. I have a PSP, and we do that.
Okay.
I have it, but there are better games for the DS and even more involving ones, I think, for my family.
You would think that by now with the XL, they would have added that into the system.
Yeah, I mean, just like a wire or some kind of connection between my Wii and the TV, something.
Yeah.
Would really just make my millennium on the DS because I really want to play the thing. But it's like I really have to like go sit in a corner and separate myself from my family to do it. And that just – the opportunity even, much less the desire, comes up pretty infrequently.
This is also the reason why the DS is probably almost the best-selling system of all time, as in the most units sold, because people are probably buying like four DSs for a family instead of doing what you're wanting to do.
Yeah.
Well, and then they're just wirelessly playing games with each other.
I mean, yeah, if you play together, well, believe me, there are honestly, I think about it, there are more than four DSs in my house.
I got a DS Fat and a DS Lite. That's all I've got.
Yeah, I have the original DS, which, you know, my continuing luck factor, Nintendo actually gave me. Huh. I have a second DS that I bought for my wife at the time because I knew she'd love it. We have a DSi. And we have a DS Lite. And we have two of the XLs.
Just to show you guys,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Just to show you guys some of the fun from Photo Dojo, I just brought it up so you guys can hear it. I made characters using toys of Oil Slick, Raiden, and Striker from Mortal Kombat. And here, I'm going to select that Oil Slick.
I'm going to kick your ass.
That's a selection noise. All right. You get to give them voices, so, you know, it's me. So guess what I did, you know? Exactly.
It's Macho Man Randy Savage in your game.
So you guys see what I'm saying for free. This is the funnest thing ever.
God. I want a DSi XL so bad, but I don't want to buy one because Nintendo's 3DS news. Jeez.
Louise. Yeah. You know, honestly, if I had the cash, I'd get the XL and the 3DS, but...
I mean, my problem is that Nintendo's not going to give you an option to transfer those games to whatever system they're coming out with next. You're locking it down to that one system, and I don't like that. That's kind of my big problem, or else I would totally pick one up right now.
Has it occurred to anyone that the 3D games might be – I mean, like that the 3D system might not be compatible with the 2D games?
No, it is.
The DS games will work in the 3DS. Yeah.
Yeah. Nintendo's –
it's backwards compatible.
Nintendo took the iPod approach with the DS. They have a cheap model of the Lite that anyone can afford. Here you go, and it plays the very base things. Like, you know, the iPod can play – the very basic one can play an MP3. The upper model, it can take pictures. It can play music. It can do all this, you know. And here's the new version. It can read books. Next year, we get a 3D one. But you know what? It can still do the basic operation of playing that Hello Kitty game you bought from Walmart.
Yep.
That's smart. I mean, really.
It's like just like you were saying, like, you know, the whole iPod approach or the Apple approach, where it's better if you wait for the next generation version of it. Kind of like with iPad right now, everybody was like, well, don't get one now because just wait because they'll probably make a better version in 6 months or a year or something.
In a year, it'll be the iPad Shuffle. That'll be a cheap version that you can't play solitaire on or something.
Or all you can do is play solitaire.
Well, and there's a certain sentiment of people who would like that, dude.
there's a certain segment. That's all they need anyway. Hey, speaking of the iPad, we do have like a first adopter in the house.
Yeah.
That would be Mr. Ender.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
My iPad. I love it.
Theory comics on it?
I was actually looking through the Marvel ones while I was ignoring you guys just now. I was looking through some Iron Man. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I even found a good PDF reader, so when they send me advanced copies, I can read them on here.
Cool. What about Netflix? You doing Netflix on it?
Oh, yeah, Netflix is awesome on it.
Oh, God, Netflix would be awesome. I would love to have it just for that.
Yeah, no, the Netflixing is incredible, and it just, you know, goes right through the Safari thing. It's just fine. There's a few there's even apps to, like, sort of, like, sit over your Netflix on the iPod so you can, like, go through your queue and stuff without having to, like, set up another account or anything like that. Just pulls your stuff.
No, so it literally is that Captain Picard device from Next Generation.
It is that Captain Picard thing. It totally is. I was sitting there, I've been reading the show notes on it. I've been sitting here at Captain Picard. It's that with the little thing in my hand, just like doing things with my thumb and doing that. It's just great.
Did you say Earl Grey or something like that?
Oh, I totally want to. Actually, I'm looking at my basement right now. I think I'm going to put – I've been envisioning, like, I'm going to put a little fish tank in the corner, one of those little bubble things. I'm just going to, like, build a little corner unit for that so I can just, like, sit in front of that thing and, like, drink tea and play with my iPad. The other thing is, it's the Hitchhiker's Guide. And I consider, you know, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to be sort of holy writ, or at least my equivalent thereof. So I think Douglas Adams wants you to own an iPad.
Sounds like it. What about games?
I just don't panic right on the desktop. The Transformers game on it is great. I've really enjoyed. I've only played a little bit of it, but I thought it was really cool.
Is that a new game or is that an older game? What is it?
No, it's a new game. It's called, I think, Awakening, and it was made for the iPhone. Yeah,
oh, it's the iPhone game is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. But it's cool. The graphics inflate just fine. It doesn't look bad at all. It's like totally hardcore G1, and I'm really looking forward to playing it. It's really good on here. The only reason I haven't played it is I'm too busy messing with the thing. Yeah. Still, I only got it a couple of days ago.
Cool.
Yeah, my desktop says don't panic right on it. I'm really happy. I couldn't be happier with it.
So Ender says go out and buy this today. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Screw the camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have screw the camera. If you have the means.
I got the 32-bit. Not 32-bit. The 32-meg version. I just wanted to be safe and make sure I had enough. I haven't run into any memory problems yet. I've only had it for a few days. The 64 seemed excessive. I got one for me and I got one for my little sister. And she has a huge music library and has filled her iPad up. And still has plenty of room on a 34. There's a lot of cool accessories for it. I got the it'll do like Bluetooth stuff, so I got the little like Apple Bluetooth keyboard. I actually haven't had to bust it out though. I've had an easy time dealing with the on-screen keyboard. It's just like people say like, oh, this thing's intuitive, but like this thing's really intuitive. I mean, like I have had no trouble navigating anything. It's just like you press a button and it happens, and it's really simple to navigate all this stuff. It lets you put your like internet bookmarks in buttons on your desktop. So you just sort of like swipe a few pages over on the touchscreen and you can like have a whole page full of where you want to go. This morning I hit like every site I usually go to in just a few seconds. I was like, okay. I've read all the stuff I usually read. Just comes right up. I didn't have to mess around with it. I was like walking around my house just like doing my morning chores with this thing in the other hand. It's just great. I haven't messed with the maps thing too much, but I saw sort of the capacity to like I could plan out my route for where I'm going to go and do errands during the day and just keep it on here and just go through it on there and have all everything just preset up. It's a lot of fun. It's great.
Do you feel safe taking it places? Like if you were, I don't know, if you were to ever get like on a bus or something, would you be scared to take it on a bus?
It feels sturdy. Well, I mean, like, I don't think I'd sit out on the red line in Chicago when I lived downtown. I'm not sure that would have been such a hot idea.
Just hold it above your head.
On the other hand, I sat in a corner with my hands over my head on the red line.
They're going above your ass.
You understand, the red line, there was a couple of murders on the red line over a period of a couple of weeks, and the chief of police got on, you know, on TV and said, well, you're on the red line at 11:30 at night. What do you expect?
I'm not trying to be mean here, but this is the bad part of town.
I miss Chicago so much.
Town.
That's just a red line at 11:30 at night. It's a bad idea.
Dracula gonna whoop your ass.
You wish that vampires were what were on those trains at 11:30 at night. Let me tell you.
I live in Atlanta. I know what's on those trains. No, I am not giving you a dollar. Shit, he's got a gun.
Like, sir, is there any way you could put that back in your pants?
Yeah.
If you could just zip that up or jump off the train, just whatever you need to do.
Jump in front of the train, maybe.
Sir, do you realize you're eating glass?
Brian, I believe you want to bring on one of our esteemed guests.
I need help. I have the AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite. People who would walk up and down the trains and repeat the same thing every day. And you're just like, dude, we get on the same train every day, too.
But I live on it.
The first
I'm homeless. I need help. I have the AIDS.
I'm going to call the police.
Go to AIDS. Just like a whole spiel written. Pre-written.
I like this new sitcom we're writing, Homeless Rob and Homeless Ender.
All the ambulance. Stay in my house.
Like, dude, you're not convincing me any more than you did yesterday. We're all here every day. You see this transvestite? It was here yesterday, okay?
God damn it.
Not notice
I'm out of coal 4 to 5. God
did
damn it.
Did service give you any money yesterday?
You know,
oh, God damn it.
On my first viewing,
God bless Mayor Daly.
Iron Man 2, I didn't see the trailer for the new, Twilight movie. That is the lamest, most pathetic, most sad looking trailer I have ever seen.
Isn't it
it's
though?
Twilight. What do you expect?
I mean, right. It's like Twilight cubed. It's ridiculous.
No, it's beyond that. It's Twilight cubed, hyper cube.
Hyper, yeah. It's like
fatter, lonelier teenager.
It's like four dimensional space time.
It's Twilight, the Cybernet space cube.
That would make it awesome. God.
But with
driving to save the day, Jacob is a werewolf.
That would be the first movie just like recaptured for a new generation.
I don't know.
That would be awesome.
A generation that didn't see the first
I have successfully not indulged in any Twilight in the same way I've successfully not indulged in any Smallville.
No, guys, think about it. Jacob would just be running and Edward comes flying in like a dirge does and they just get in a little fight. Twilight!
God. But so Billy's here. He is the fish.
Oh, Billy, I gotta go. I'll see you guys later. I'll talk to you in a few minutes. Let me know if anything changes.
Okay. Billy's going to talk about movies that are coming up. What do we have? What do we have, Billy?
This week in movies, we have three wide releases that are being released. The first one, which is the most interesting out of all of them, is Robin Hood, directed by Ridley Scott, who's also the director of Alien and let's see what else.
Golden Girls.
I think
Black Hawk Down, American Gangster.
Scott direct
Thelma and Louise and what? Hannibal.
Thelma and Louise?
Is that
the Mexican cinema version I never heard of?
I don't know. I feel I should know if so.
We also have this week Just Right, a new comedy from Fox starring Queen Latifah.
You're the recipe for success.
It sounds like it's perfect for our audience.
Where's Steve Martin when you really need him?
Queen Latifah.
The last one is, I don't know how this girl does it, but this Amanda Seyfried is in like every single love movie now. Letters to Juliet. Yeah, it's like a Romeo Juliet type thing, and she's already. This is her after she already did Dear John.
You got midnight showing tickets, don't you, Billy?
Yeah. Gets a
no.
Is this a movie that you take a date on, Billy?
No, thank you.
What would you take a date on? What kind of movie?
Iron Man.
Smart Man.
There you go.
So Iron Man 2 came out, and basically the summer movie season imploded until like June, is what you're saying?
Yeah. except for Prince of Persia. That's and a re-release of Survival of the Dead.
Survival of the Dead's coming. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's
all right. Yeah, that's Night of the Living Dead 5.
And MacGruber, which I'm not really that.
You know, I want to see MacGruber. I can't help it.
I agree. I'm kind of interested in going to see that, too. And since I have a coupon for a free movie ticket left, I will probably go and waste it on that.
I hate the skits on SNL when I've watched him on SNL. But the trailer looks awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's got all the WWE wrestlers in it. Is that what makes you want to see it?
WWE wrestlers? What are you talking about?
Yeah, dude, like Chris Jericho is in it. Mark Henry. Help me out here, Rob. Who else is in there?
I haven't paid attention.
Probably Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, he's doing another direct video.
This isn't a WWE picture, is it? That makes me not want to see it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's like five or six guys that are in it. Khali's in it. Jeez.
I saw him in the trailer.
Yeah.
MacGruber
hosted Raw a little bit while, well, you know, the dude that plays him. He was doing the character on the show.
Boring Raw.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
All right.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So in other movie news, John Favreau, the director of Iron Man 2, has announced that in Iron Man 3, the villain will be Mandarin.
Didn't he say that after the first movie, too?
I saw it's recently announced somewhere. I forgot, but yeah, so.
I mean, it's new that he said it again, but I don't think it's a new development. I think the plan always was for Iron Man 3 to be the Mandarin movie.
I just wish they'd put in Fing Fang Foom at some point, even if it was a CGI model.
I just want to hear him say Fing Fang Foom.
If it was Fing Fang Foom and he was like, you know.
I'll tell you what Fing Fang Foom needs to be in the movie. It needs to be Mandarin's equivalent of Jarvis.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I think that they should bring. I think that I don't know which comic series he is from, but I think they should bring in MODOK.
You know that villain. That would.
Well, MODOK at the time, wasn't he the sidekick to Mandarin?
Just in the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
That would make.
Is he more a Captain America villain, or is he more Avengers? Maybe.
He's a floater. He can, you know, do whatever they.
He's literally a floater. He floats around all the time.
Yeah. Sure is.
Yeah.
All right. And in other movie news.
No, if they do a movie with MODOK, they have to have the female version in there too, and you know, have like a B romance story in there.
God.
I just want a Fing Fang Foom movie. Just so I can see that trailer. This summer. And he's going, shoot the trio! Bing, bang, bing.
I would see Bing, Fang, Foom, and I would think it was a new Dragon Ball movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Starring Brendan Fraser.
Alright, so in other movie news, Men in Black 3 is coming our way.
Oh, wet in my pants and anti-soul.
In 3D!
Oh.
Look at Will Smith all up in my grill.
Just say no to 3D.
Will Smith is confirmed, and also, I'll get a new microphone as soon as I get.
You don't have to respond to the chat in the.
I know. I'm sorry, but it is confirmed that Will Smith is returning. So is the other guy. I forgot what his name was.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones as a new character. Josh Brolin is going to be added to the cast.
Josh Brolin is a new character. That was
Jonah Hex is in Men in Black 3.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Full makeup.
Speaking of other new trailers, Inception Trailer 3 has come out, and I want to go see that movie.
Ugh, really? That's off.
I don't really know what this sound effect means. I just...
Sounds like somebody blowing on a bottle.
What are you doing, pulling Seventh Seal sound effects out now? What was that?
Dude, I love that.
Seventh Seal? Is that movie with the retard who's the last mater or something?
It's an Ingmar Bergman film, Rob.
Oh, okay.
That movie's awesome.
No, Seventh Sign is the one I'm talking about.
It's about a guy who's returning from the...
You're thinking of Demi Moore, Rob. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, where the retard guy killed his parents, and he's like about to start Armageddon somehow.
No. You may not have actually watched the movie, but you remember Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey when they played Death?
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a parody of Seventh Seal. So.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Gotcha. Okay, sweet.
And then
my battleship.
And in other news, the new trailer of Tron Legacy will supposedly be premiering during the Prince of Persia movie.
I won't be seeing it then.
Ah.
Mm,
I kind of want to see the Prince of Persia movie. I think it might be an actual decent comic, a video game movie, actually.
Chris, you see more movies than I do, or at least you used to.
Yeah, I used to, not as much anymore.
Since I got married, I do it way more.
A decent video game movie, that's the understatement of the year.
Hello, yeah. Street Fighter.
No, hello, Tekken. Tekken's supposedly getting released this year.
Oh, God. Have you seen the trailer for Tekken?
I know. It's horrible. Did
you want to watch the fan-made Mega Man movie?
I need to watch it.
I tried to. I couldn't sit through it.
I enjoyed it.
You know, Prince of Persia may be good and all, but you think this giant Hollywood budget could have found, I don't know, a Persian actor?
Maybe they should have just used Brendan Fraser instead.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. Let's find Pretty McWhite Boy to play a Persian. Hey, here's an idea. Has anyone not seen that's just a tad bit, I don't know, racist?
Airbender. Everybody's
say something.
Yeah, the white guy playing an Asian kid. Hello. they got they're in line with the resumes too.
Right.
That's
yes, there are other people out there.
So what else do we have in movie news, Billy?
Movie news. I saw somewhere that supposedly I forgot where, but I read it somewhere that they're thinking of making a new Doctor Who movie. Richard like a full-length Reyes. Feature film to be released in theaters with the 11th Doctor.
Starring Brendan Fraser.
And in other news, there will be some new toys that will be coming out to for Doctor Who, and you know where you can buy them.
Big Bad Toy Store.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
PFRadio.net/BBTS.
You got it. See, you got it now, Billy. You're awesome.
You were too lazy to do them. And
I wasn't too lazy.
Hey, he's biting the hand that feeds him.
Yeah, really. That's kind of a bad idea there, Billy. You're not really on the cast or on the crew yet.
Someone had to do it.
Hey, if XV didn't do it, he didn't have to.
Billy, I was about to offer you your own show, and you just closed
the door. Yeah, the fish market.
The fish market, that's it!
Did you say fish market?
Oh, yes.
Wait, that would be my new show?
Yes, Billy.
Make it happen, please.
I'm going to be your sidekick. Would you be up to doing that?
Yes, I would totally be up to doing that. If you teach me how so that I can do Skype on my computer while still doing Audacity.
Okay, we'll figure it out, Billy. I'll make it happen. We'll get you new
microphone. Wow. Demanding already.
Fish stick minute here.
Because
I want to try and get Audacity to play with my computer without buying a second, or Audacity to record Skype chats without buying a second computer.
You don't need Audacity. I only have, five computers? No, one, two.
Only.
You don't need what I've got running, Billy. You can do it with one computer. You're good.
Yeah, Brian's kind of just stupid that way.
Stupid. But,
see, I can say that stuff and there's no consequences.
A chip head?
Yeah, like a computer geeky.
Audacity only records your own voice. Audacity only records your own voice, Billy. It does not record both sides of the conversation.
It can.
Oh. Well, then I need a program that's free that can.
Depending on your sound hardware. We'll make it happen.
Just answered your own question, Billy. The free part ain't going to happen.
No, it'll happen. We'll make it happen. Okay, so is that it for New Soundwave?
Sure is.
Smart.
Jump rapid.
An action packed show.
It has been an action packed show.
Tune in next week.
We need to get some bass in
your show really. Yet.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week.
Is he gone yet?
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, J.D. Church, Ender, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilbabe. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.